is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. And welcome to Trumpet of Truth. New book today. Please open your King James Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. We just completed the book of James, new book, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Just before we begin, I want all of you to know that not only do I teach God's word, I am an intercessory prayer, and I have many hours every morning when I call people by name and pray for you. So if you don't know that and would like to call me on the telephone and be on my daily intercessory prayer list, here is my number, 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. Leave your name and message on my voicemail, and I will put you on my daily intercessory prayer list. My announcer will give you the same number at the end of the program. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, or Petra's name, means Cephas, and Cephas means rock, but he's not the rock of ages. The reason he's called a rock is that Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed to you, but the Spirit of my Father. And on this rock I will build my church, and not the gates of hell shall prevail against it." He didn't mean the rock Peter on the confession that Peter made. So therefore, Peter was chosen to be the first preacher of the first church. Why did Jesus often call Peter Bar-Jonah? Bar is Hebrew's son, Jonah is a dove. The dove is Holy Spirit, the son of Holy Spirit. You say Holy Spirit has a son? There's just one God. He operates in three different offices, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father has a son named Jesus, and you and I are sons of God. What he means is that Peter was so baptized with the Holy Spirit, so soaked in the anointing of Holy Spirit, that he was like an obedient child who obeys his parent. So see, you're supposed to be so attuned to the Holy Spirit, who is your guide, who is your teacher, who is your ever-present friend, that as soon as he gives you the slightest nudge, that you will obey him. I checked with Google, and she said that on this planet Earth, there are 37 million Christian churches and 87,000 denominations, and she didn't have all the detail on all of us businesses who are Christian. And so who do you think's been doing that? The Holy Spirit. He builds the church. Why, Peter was so anointed. No wonder Jesus called him Son of the Holy Spirit. Peter walked by, and his shadow was so anointed that the shadow healed people. I'll tell you, you can soak in the Holy Spirit. You can have the love of Jesus inside of you. You can be a firebrand so that when you walk in the room, it makes a difference. Most of you Christians, you walk into a sad sack area, and you just keep on being a sad sack. Change the atmosphere. Come in with your electricity. Come in with your heart of joy. And that's what Peter did. And do you know what else Peter did? No wonder Jesus called him Bar-Jonah. He got out of the boat. All the other disciples stayed in the boat. Peter said, "I want to walk on water like you." Jesus said the same thing that he does, we can do. He had the courage to get out of the boat. That takes faith. That takes Holy Spirit. And then in the book of Acts, Peter, the first preacher of the first church after Jesus had ascended, got up there and preached all the way from Genesis up to Messiah. You know, Peter was one of three, Peter, James, and John, who saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew. So he was very, very special, and he was a fisherman. So now we begin.
Peter, an apostle for Jesus Christ.
An apostle means a sent one. Now here's what happened. In the world that then was, Peter's going to explain this in 2 Peter 3:6, the first earth age, we're all in a spiritual body. When Satan rebelled, most of God's children followed Satan, and that shut them off from being God's children. But there was a small group of people, minus the flesh, in our spirit body, who fought for God and were chosen then and sent out as an apostle, a sent one, in every generation to bring forth the truth, the oracles of light. So Peter was one of those. Do you realize that Jesus, from heaven's glory, sent Peter out through Peter's mother's womb so that Peter could be stationed as a fisherman, married to a wife with a mother-in-law, and working along with James and John, two other fishermen, on the shores of Galilee. Jesus had that already established before Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. See, right now, there's somebody out there. Jesus has already stationed them. Maybe they're older than you. Maybe they're younger than you. We're all the same age anyway. But God has already stationed them. So at the right timing of God, you two are going to get together and do the work of God. I have always known there's a voice out there that's going to take this trumpet of truth to the whole wide world. I've always known that. And God had Scott stationed for me. I said, there's somebody going to come in here and appreciate the anointing I have and what I'm doing. He brought Scott in. And Scott was out there fighting demons. He said, there's somebody in the world going to appreciate my pictures that show angelic beings. And so I was stationed. So you see, God's got somebody stationed for you. This is not so you can have fun and have a mate. This is so you can do the work of God. And he had Peter already stationed. Isn't that beautiful?
To the strangers scattered in Ponta, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia.
The strangers scattered would be just like the book of James that we just finished. That would mean to the 12 tribes scattered. Remember that in James. Very few people today realize that the 12 tribes of Israel are scattered. We're not in the same location. Two of the tribes, for the most part, are in the land of Israel. They are the house of Benjamin and the house of Judah. They call themselves the house of Judah. But not all of Judah is there. Judah is on the throne in England. That is why that royal wedding means so much. It's David's seed line, right on, right on, right on. Did you know David was a redhead? Did you notice that Prince Harry's redhead? It's a right on down there. The 10 tribes of Israel migrated into Canada and these United States of America. So Peter is writing to the 12 tribes scattered, just like James. Why is he doing that? Because Jesus had set Peter up to begin the church. Jesus says, I'll build my church. But we the elect are the builders. We're the carpenters, Zechariah calls us. So if you're going to build a building, you don't go in and get someone who just got saved and doesn't even know why the blood was shed, who's not sanctified yet, who's still living for the world, who loves the Lord, but that's all. You don't go and give them the mystery because they won't know how to handle it. You start, it's an inside job. You start with the pillars of the church. You start with the elect, and you get them rooted and grounded in God's word. And then we go forward. It's an inside job where we turn out, and we bring in the Gentiles, and we bring in the heathen. So see, the first thing is always go for the elect so the church can be strong. And then we gather in, whosoever will may come.
Verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God.
I told you elect, okay? Now that's the group in where we're not in our flesh bodies that did not betray God in the world that then was, but fought for him and were justified, found not guilty. Romans 8, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Predestination is such a beautiful thing. Not everyone is predestined, but the elect are sent out, umbilical cord in every generation to bring forth the truth, the oracles of light, the mystery of God to the masses.
Father, and sanctification unto the Spirit.
And we are to be sanctified and set apart by the anointing of Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit anoints you, and he anoints the elect, and then that sanctifies you and sets you apart for holy use. You don't know how to pray unless you're anointed. You don't know how to preach unless you're anointed. You don't know how to sing unless you're anointed. You don't know how to live. You don't know how to give. You don't know how to serve. The anointing enables you, and the Holy Spirit is there for you, for the taking, elect. Be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ.
And then you're sent out. Now, before Jesus actually paid the sin debt, the high priest would take the blood of the sacrificial animal and would sprinkle it on the people as a metaphor for forgiveness of their sins. What you do, elect, you go out and then you tell the people that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Make sure that the very first thing you do in building the church is get the blood established, the blood covenant of Jesus Christ. What he's doing here is building the church the first time. In 2012, when the election went bad, and it looked as though our country were going to be wrapped up in socialism, communism, and away from God forever, I had just answered the phone. People were very upset. And the Lord spoke audibly to me, and he said, reform the church. That's what he told me to do, reform the church. So as Peter was forming the church the first time, the church has become polluted, the word of God polluted, and so therefore the word of God has been lost. And so now we're reforming it. And the first thing we want to do here at the end, for you elect, you must not forsake the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. In all of your praying, in all of your serving, in all of your healing, in all of your singing, the blood, the blood, the blood, the everlasting blood covenant, that's essential. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. It's essential to salvation. So that must be one of your root pillars, elect, in the church.
Grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied.
Grace, unmerited favor. He blesses us. You know, it's interesting about peace. Everybody wants peace. And here is a scripture that is so often overlooked. It's Isaiah 53:5. It starts out this way. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Listen to this. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. We use the stripes for the healing, but what about the peace? Jesus was chastised so that you might have peace. He was made nervous. He was made hurting and antsy and itching and miserable and nervous and couldn't sleep so that you could have peace.
Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That blessed means how happy is God our Father. Well, why is Father so happy?
Which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope.
Because when Satan said, I rebel and deceived 1/3 of God's children, the begotten children of God were no longer begotten. They were almost forgotten. But through what Jesus did, he paid the sin debt. He shed the blood for the remission of sins. We can be gotten again of God. And now we have hope. Christ in us, our hope of glory. And this makes our Father happy. He was lonely for us. He wanted us to come home, as any good parent wants a straying child to come home.
By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Jesus arose from the dead. This makes God very happy. It is done. The price has been paid. The battle's won. Do you know the battle's won? Or you think you're still just duking it out yourself?
Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you.
Now, this is saying to you elect, you who are saved, there is a reservation in heaven, and you have an inheritance there. It is written in God's book. It's reserved for you. Ezekiel 44 through 48 says that in the future heaven on earth, that everybody has an inheritance and you're going to inherit that. Everybody's got a plot. The very elect inherit God, and he is definitely incorruptible. He never fades away. I've been blessed with the gift of dreams and visions, and some time back, I was concerned about someone I felt was going to go home to be with the Lord soon. I was not sure the person was saved. So I asked God to give me a peace about it, and if he would, to let me know the person was okay. So he took me up to heaven, and I saw the chairs and the assembly, and I reached over and read, and it said, reserved for Sherry's, and then the name of the person for whom I was praying. I saw the reservation. It was reserved for them. So see, you have a reservation in heaven. You call a restaurant. You're going to go to a nice restaurant. You say, I want my family of five to reserve that table by the window so we can watch the ocean. The good owner of the restaurant will reserve that for you. And somebody else says, I want that table. The good owner says, no, that's reserved for my party of five. They can have that. Only you can break the reservation. You could not show up for the restaurant, or you could just cancel it. You see what I'm saying? And if you cancel your reservation by worshiping the soon coming Antichrist, you will have been the one. God will never break that reservation reserved in heaven for you. Have you made your reservation?
Verse 5, well, kept by the power of God.
Well, what is the power of God? Jesus says, I have a baptism of fire with which to baptize you. I give you power over all the power of the enemy. The Holy Spirit power. The Holy Spirit seals you when you get saved, seals. And he protects you, and he guards you, and he keeps your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he keeps that reservation on your chair no matter what the devil does. It's kept by the power of God. The Holy Spirit power. The Holy Spirit has all power, knows everything, omnipotent.
By faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
And salvation is Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh's Savior, coming at the last trump, the seventh trump, the farthest one out.
Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now you may be for a season in heaviness.
Now wait just a minute. Peter says, now you're so happy. Aren't you happy about this? You got a reservation. Aren't you happy Jesus paid the sin debt? Oh, elect, you got some problems, haven't you? But you're happy, though you have a little season of trials. You think Peter didn't know it? As soon as they killed Jesus and Jesus arose and went back to the Father, Peter was on the hit list. They arrested him. They were going to kill him. They put him in jail. An angel set him free. But he was a marked man, and he suffered. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I'm not talking about suffering because human beings suffer. I'm talking because you are winning souls to Jesus. You are witnessing. You are sowing the word of God to other people. It's not bird seed, it's word seed that you're supposed to sow every day. I would suggest to each one of you, ask God to let somebody that day, you sow the word to somebody. That is your obligation. It doesn't matter whether you're called to be a preacher or a prophet or whatever. Everybody can sow a word, and that's your job. And you're going to be persecuted. So he says, even though you're in a little trouble now. Now, Peter was good friends with Paul. And they had a little bit of a spat, but they got together because they had the same Lord, same calling. And Peter, I'm sure, read Paul's writings, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God says, I will not give you more. I will not let more come on you than you can bear. You think that thing that's come on you is too much? No. It's not more than you can bear. You just didn't know you could bear it. But he said, I will, with that trouble that's on you, I will make a way for you to escape it, to bear it. It will go away. You will go around it. You will go above it. It will not stop you. That's what God said, 1 Corinthians 10:13. So Peter says the same thing. So what you have to do is decide you're going to believe God's word about your problem and walk merrily on. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil. It's just a shadow.
Through manifold temptations. Verse 7. That the trial of your faith.
The test. It's just a test. Nobody's any good without a test. How's anybody going to know you have faith? You say, I have faith. I go to church all the time. How do we really know you're saved? How do we know you're absorbing this word? You've got to have a little trial to see if you're going to apply the word. Well, I don't want the trial. I'm not going to do the word. I mean, for heaven's sakes, you know, God deliver me from this thing. No, it's a test. You got to go to the book and find the answer. It's in the book. Study the book, and you'll find the answer to the test, and then you'll come out, and you'll pass with flying colors. See, many people say they're saved. We don't know if you're saved or not until we see you tested by fire.
Being much more precious than of gold that perisheth.
You know, God could say to his elect, I tell you, I love you, elect. You're sowing the word of God. You're bringing the light to the world, the word to the world. So I'm just going to make you very rich. I'm giving you lots of gold and silver. Or God could say, I'm going to let you go through deep trials. Now, all of you say, give me the silver, give me the gold. No, the most precious gift is the trial, because it's a test of your faith. Your faith is your greatest asset as a Christian. And if you don't have your faith muscle strengthened, you're a hothouse lily and God cannot use you. Do you know why people call me up when they get in real trouble? Because they know I've been in real trouble and I'm still standing. And do you know what else they know? I think sometimes people think that my life is not as hard as it is, that I'm not going through a nightmare even now because I'm so happy. You think I don't have any troubles because I'm so happy. You're supposed to be happy too, because this is not all. We're walking through it. We have the victory through Jesus Christ. This is just a moment. We have the joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. I can't help what your trouble is. If you're in his presence, you're going to laugh. There is no place in the body of Christ for long-faced, sad, poor little me Christians once you catch on to the word of God. And it, you do not do God any service or anybody else by saying, I'm suffering for Jesus. Oh, look at me. Who would want you? Oh, be an ambassador. Show the glory. Tell the story. Put a bounce in your believe.
Amen.
Though it be tried with it, might be found unto praise and honor and glory.
Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. If you will persevere and have the right attitude and believe, this thing that seems so bad for you is not only going to wind up blessing you, but it's going to give God the glory.
At the coming of Jesus Christ.
At his coming, you're going to see what it was all about. He's coming soon, you know. We're in the fifth trump now, a time of learning. And then we have the Antichrist to come. His time's been shortened for the elect's sake. And then Jesus comes.
Verse 8. Who, having not seen, you live.
You love. Now, you can go to your Bible and find the scripture to help you in your trouble, and you can see that, and you can hold it in your hand, and you can read it, and you can say it. But you have never seen Jesus, but you love him. It would take more faith to believe Jesus that you love him and you've never seen him than to believe the scripture that is given to you.
Yet now, having seen him not, yet believing.
You believe even though you don't see him. You believe because he's so real. None of you have seen the blood, but you believe that blood washed away your sins. But how much more the engrafted word that you can open the book and look and read it. You can see it. It's the voice of God. It's the promise of God. God is not a man that he should lie. He tells the truth. You believe the truth. You have something in your hand, in your heart, in your eyes and in your ears that manifests that truth.
You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Remember James said, count it all joy when you fall into many troubles and so forth. Peter says the same thing. Why is that? Because the more troubles we have, the closer we get to God, and in his presence is fullness of joy. You're not going to keep an elect down too much. You can wrap us around and chain us and pound us, but that joy is going to come back because we love our God. And because we love our Lord, that joy is going to come back. And we're too much in love with him to embarrass him by being poor little me. Can't do it. Can't take this, Christians. We're not hothouse lilies. We fought then, and we fought now. And having done all, we stand. Amen. And we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith.
Now, what's the point of all this faith? Here's what it is.
Even the salvation of your soul.
What is all this faith about? That you would be saved. God's testing you to see if that's really faith. It's one thing to go to church and make the public confession, get baptized. But when we see how you handle the trial, we will see your faith in action, or we will see no faith. We want to see the faith in action so you'll be saved. That's the purpose.
10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired.
Daniel and Job and Isaiah and David and Jeremiah and Samuel, oh, they wanted to live. Ezekiel, they wanted to live in these last days. They prophesied that Messiah would come. They'd prophesied that these would be the most exciting time to live. They wanted to be here. They told us we would have a Messiah who would shed his blood for us. See, Peter calls this the last days. It's just been 2,000 years, and a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So that's just the last days.
And search diligently. They have prophesied of the grace you've come to know.
In other words, those prophets told about Messiah coming. And Peter and the other disciples heard that from Jesus, who taught his 12 disciples. Now Peter's going to say, I, Peter, am teaching you, elect, scattered, you in America hearing this all over planet Earth. I now am teaching you. The prophets told us Messiah. Jesus called us 12 to tell us that Messiah is come to build the church. There is the Savior. Jesus is the Messiah. And on this rock we build the church on the blood there. And now you go and tell the world.
11. Search you what? Of what man or time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify and testify before him the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow.
You can even read in Psalm 22, he says, the suffering Messiah. David wrote that 1,000 years before Jesus was on the cross. It's all there. And now, that was written, and Jesus delivered it to Peter, and now Peter is delivering it to us as the elders and as the elect of the church. And now you and I are to take this truth of the blood covenant and take it to the world and bring in whosoever will may come.
12. Unto whom it was revealed, that not unto himself, but to us, that it ministered to us the things which are now reported.
In other words, Jesus told us, and now we're telling you.
Unto you, and to them who have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into.
Now, he says, the holy angels are amazed at you, that you have this salvation, that you can get saved. Did you know the book of Revelation says that your angel has the face of God at any time when you get in trouble and can come to help you? You're surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, a heavenly host, and he gives his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for heirs of salvation. We're studying the Psalms on Wednesday night, and we learned in Psalm 89 that the heavens, the seraphims and the teraphims, when I sit down at the piano, we have our worship service in here, which is so pure and holy in the Word, and we have no ulterior motive except to give to God, that the holy angels from heaven come and join us, and they're amazed at the salvation that God has given to us.
Verse 13, therefore, gird up the loins.
Gird up your loins. Remember when I was teaching Ephesians chapter 6, he said to put your girdle on. Gird up your loins means your belt. Your belt holds your pants up. Just put on your girdle, your belt of truth, and stand up and walk on through the valley of the shadow. It's just a shadow. He will make a way that you may be able to escape it.
Of your mourning, of your mind, be sober and hope to the end.
Keep a straight head on you. It doesn't mean not to get, he's not talking about inebriation, but keep your head on to the end. Endure to the end.
The grace which is to be brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, as obedient children.
As obedient children, bar Jonah, bar son Jonah dove, son of the dove. You're supposed to be so in tune with the Holy Spirit. He came and sealed you when you got saved. He's there. He knows everything. He never leaves you. He's there to guide you into all truth and order your steps in your workplace, in your home, in your relationships, about your car, your money, your body, your relationships, your work, your life, everything about the Bible. He's there. And when he nudges you, you're to turn on a dime. Be as an obedient child to the Holy Spirit. He will never lead you wrong. You'll never be sorry if you obey the Holy Spirit. You will be sorry if you don't, and you lose so much fruit when you don't obey.
Not fashioning yourselves according to the...
You don't do like you used to do, where you thought you had to do all the driving. Now we let the Holy Spirit drive the car.
According to the former lust in your ignorance. 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy.
All right, God is holy, so you'll be conformed to the image and likeness of God. You're to be holy. Now, does that mean we're a stuffed shirt? No, Lord. We have more fun. We laugh because we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. The very touch of God just is so beautiful. He's so precious, and he just joy bubbles over. But we're holy people. You're supposed to be holy when you go out to dinner or lunch, when you go to work, when you go to church, when you live in your home and relationships and work. There's not one area of your life you're supposed to put on the shelf and say, I'll hide my holiness here.
In all manner of conversation.
All manner of lifestyle. You're supposed to be holy when you go to computer. Watch it. Watch what you see.
16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
God is holy.
17, and if you call in the fire, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work.
Peter is saying the same thing Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3. All Christians are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not to see if you're going to go to heaven or walk in the lake of fire. You are saved. You have a reservation. But to have your works tested after salvation. If your works are acceptable, gold and silver, they will not deteriorate. But if not accepted, they will be wood, hay, and stubble. You'll still be saved, but you'll be naked. Revelation 19, the righteousness of saints, righteous acts of saints, weaves the robe that you're going to wear. How your garments. We don't want you to have a moth-eaten sweater, and we surely don't want you to be naked. May I suggest you start asking God to let you sow a word. The word of God is how you witness, not your words, not a quarterly, not a book about the book. You're the word of God into somebody's life each day. If you would be faithful on that, God will bring the people for you. It's not bird seed, it's word seed.
As the time of your sojourning.
The time of your sojourning. What Jesus says, they're in the world, they're not of the world. In this world age, we are just here on a journey. We don't belong here because we did not betray the Lord in the first earth age, but he sent us here to just pass through. You weren't here for a career. You weren't here to have boys and girls and babies and houses and lands and fun. Everybody thinks this is it. I'm just build my life. Oh, for heaven's sakes, it fades away. You're here to get the truth of God's word, the word and the blood of Jesus, to as many people as you can to sow that word. This is just a journey. Now, in the world that is the future, then we're going to be at home here because it's going to be rejuvenated. But you weren't here. See, stop thinking that your house and your home and your car and your family, oh, this is my life. No, it isn't your life. This is where you are now. Love everybody. Do right about everybody. But remember, you're sojourning. You're here to get the word of God and the blood of Jesus out. The rest will come later.
You're in the field.
The field is the world, Matthew 23, Jesus says.
Next verse. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation,
from your empty lifestyle,
received by tradition from your fathers.
Traditions of men make void the word of God.
Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
As John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so you're on a journey. You're just passing through. And you tell, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The blood, he shed the blood, will pay your sin debt. Believe, repent, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's your mission. The Word of God. Jesus is the living Word. Christ, our Passover, is sacrifice for us. We'll begin right there next time. I hope you are blessed. But it's time now for a mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I would like to introduce you to the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing really good, Miss Sherry. That was awesome. I mean, what a great book to enter into right now, huh?
Thank you.
Encouraging word, for sure.
It's God's word.
Amen. First question, what should a person expect to get when he goes to church?
A person should not go to church to get one thing. You hear people say, I didn't get anything out of that service. We're studying the Psalms on Wednesday night, and Psalm 89, the last of the Leviticus sanctuary Psalms, is called Instruction on Being a Blessing in the Sanctuary. We're to go to the assembly to give our ear to hear God's voice, to give our heart to love God, to give our hands and feet to obey God, to give our money that the word of God may go out in all of the world, and to give our lives to him who gave his life for us. But I can tell you this, I think God's playing a trick on you. He has the law of reciprocity. If you bless God, God will always bless you. See, most people go to church, I want to get so I'll feel better, I need the spirit, I need the healing. We do pray for all of those things. Your purpose should be coming in this door, turning on Trumpet of Truth, all of you listening there. I'm going to give to God. I'm going to give my life to him. Let me hear his voice. I give you my attention, Lord. I'm going to give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you my time. I give you my talent. It's about us giving to him. But always, of course, he'll give back to us.
Through the heart. Through
That'll
the
shake
heart.
Up the church.
Yeah, well, through the heart. Through the heart.
That'll reform it.
Our next question. Angela of Suntree asks, will the two witnesses appear on the scene at the same time that the Antichrist arrives?
Angela Merson, that's your beautiful wife, Scott. they are going to be here a few, a little bit earlier than the Antichrist. In the book of Revelation, the chapter that has about the two witnesses is out of chronological order. It was really written before chapter 9. It's not there, but it's wrong. They're placed wrong. So at that time, the tribulation was still 7 years. But when we got to chapter 9, and the two witness chapter should be before that, Jesus shortened the time to 5 months. So we're going by the solar calendar, which is less days than the lunar calendar. So they're going to be here about 10 days, as best we can tell, before the actual Antichrist appears. They're probably here now, but we might not be aware of them. So thank goodness for them. Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. It's time for Scott's stuff.
The people who can see Satan in everything aren't looking to see Satan in everything. They are awake to the deception because he is in everything. The people who can't see it are walking with the world and don't want their illusion destroyed, because they would have to change their walk.
That's for sure. Lying vanities. That's lying delusions. Thank you, Scott. That is so beautiful.
Good work, man.
I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick, but first let me pray for anyone who's not saved. Won't you accept the Lord Jesus? Repent of your sins. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive my sins.
Please forgive my sins.
Wash them all away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Reserve me a place in heaven.
Reserve me a place in heaven.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me.
Grow me.
In your word.
In your word.
And let me win many souls to Jesus.
And let me win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. So if you pray that in a minute, please feel free to leave a message on my voicemail and tell me. Let me pray for those of you who are sick. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, you arise with healing in your wings. I speak to stomach disorders in the name and the power of Jesus, that the wings and healing virtue of Jesus go into the stomach, into the lining, and all connecting organs of the stomach, the intestines, the colon, the kidneys, the gallbladder, the pancreas, the liver. In Jesus' name, perfect that which concerns divine order, reparation, and healing. In the name of Jesus, stomach disorders, be healed now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Receive it and believe it in Jesus' name. Top of your head, the soles of your feet, he sent his word and healed you in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. Now, don't forget Sundays, 5 p.m. here at my school. Wednesdays, 6 p.m. Thursday, Scott meets me here. We open the door from 12 until 2, and we're here to pray for you. Tell others about Trumpet of Truth. You can get us on demand on the internet, WMIEFM.com. We have tons of books of the Bible on there. You can have a whole Bible course, and we want to just get this word out to the world. God bless each of you. Remember that Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Now, until next time, I want you to remember that nothing is yours to keep. All that you have heard is yours to give away. What a volume of treasure you have. You could certainly sow one seed of this each day. You could just take one lesson. You could go for a year and sow one seed to somebody else. So go and tell. Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, and my twin friend, Scott Merson, saying we love you. We bless you. May the Lord keep you, make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, use you in a mighty way, anoint you. And until next time, remember, go and blow the trumpet of truth. Thank you.
been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Upside down, it is the servant who wears the crown. last, and last is first, and you're all that I'm not. 'Cause I'm weak, you're strong, I'm empty till you fill me. I say
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
The crumbs of old bread, spread the good news through dreams and stones. With the breath of your wind, you could raise up the dead, but you ask us to go and help us love mercy. Slave. God, please remember the helpless today. Call on your children, repairing the breach. There's no place too far that your mercy can reach. And help us love mercy. And help us do justly. Justly, and help us walk humbly with you, God. And help us love mercy, and help us do it justly, and help us walk humbly with you, God. Let love come and touch them with your Father's heart.
Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you.